which did not differentiate Republicans from Democrats. You just worked in that field and revive our attention to the whole basic thing. Now, finally, you decided, well, God, that one party is making an issue of the basic things, and it is violating them, but by is making an issue by violation of the dishonesty, decency, and so on. So therefore, maybe you're going to off your high horse and get into this goddamn political. The first is who by the things is standing for its policies, where by God, you're not just defeating yourself, but joining up. In other words, why, let's put it this way, why wouldn't you be completely justified in fact in saying, I'm not going to be called Republican or Democrat or anything else until I know that one of them at least is standing for things that I think are important to this country and that are morally sound, legally and economically sound. Now, it's all right to say, all right, I'm going to start a one-man show. I don't do that. You have to, certainly have to give your whole life and whole time. There's no more time for any other kind of work or thought. That's
a devotion.
Not only go into it while you've got, but you have got to fight off at the same time the implication that you were trying to capture your party for your own use. I would love to be a supporter of a group or of a party that I thought by God could come out and put down its basic aspirations and hopes in a simple way that appealed to me. I've come to the Ivy League.
Or standing of the person that starts pitching. I got to get into rather hell of a way, Mr. Kreider. God damned if I don't.
I'll tell you, the
only I've got one simple rule. I'm just honest, and I try to talk about things that I honestly and sincerely believe. Now, that's all. I have no particular delivery. I listened to a man the other night, President Lafayette, the Hudson's. Big speech, and I envied the guy's smooth and wonderful delivery. Hell, I stagger around. Rarely talk. I'd rarely have a note. I don't know how to read a speech. I never have one unless I'm on an international hookup or a very formal thing like commencement. Well, I stagger along talking, but I talk what's in my heart. That's always true. I'll tell you what I, maybe I might. I don't even see how I could change the tone of my speeches because I talk about these things. I talk about morality, decency, honesty, and approach. Readiness to cooperate, looking things in the eye, to see where our freedoms are going and what's happening to them. I talk that all the time. The speech, I made a formal speech at the lawyers, September 3rd, here, and I argued. Don't go into either of these extremes. So I stay on the general line that we've been talking this morning. I stay on it all the time. The only thing I'm trying to do is to keep myself from being, having the finger put on me as a guy's got to get out and carry the flag. Well, I do believe this. I rather think this.
Don't do what Stanton did.
What is that? Oh, I'll never deal in personality. But the only thing I would try to say this, that if I would have to come to the position that my hope for winning the West, I'm talking now in the term of the Republican Party, says, have we come to the place we have to win the West, probably our first time, then I certainly wouldn't want to stick that personality out for the arguments and joltings and jammings that would come about through argument, liberation. Just think of the words that people that I oppose so bitterly, Ewing and McGrath, they what they get caught to in terms of obstructionist and reactionary and so and so for 2 years. Remember, take Jennings Bryan, who damn near swept in 96. He never was as popular as the day he made his speech at Glasgow. You see?
You talk about being a soldier, brother. That's tough stuff.
Well, I know it is, but the point is, a man can carry through on a, let's say, at a high pitch of determination, of throwing the full personality in every talk. He can do it possibly, let's say, 8 months. But my God, you ask a guy to do that for 2 years and a half, and you're going to have nothing left. He'd be right. And the last, in the critical moment, he wouldn't have enough left, by God, to impress his own son.
Got it.
young fellow would rise up that I could get behind and shout, would like to see it. And maybe would like to see it.
Some little present I thought he would want, but he was retired and I didn't. And this one particular day, he wrote me this letter in hell, a damned old temporary ribbon thing, and the letter looked like hell, with him cursing. The best thing for you is just to take this over and say that a letter directed to me had, in the normal course of things, had been sent to you as a business manager. And that upon receipt of this, you simply quote from a New York State labor law, which is specifically exempt these charitable institutions, since this institution is such that you merely see that no useful purpose would be served by going further with this. And just
one of the
saw it. Well, how many?
This is what I'd look at.
It's not something on which, this is not a group on which that would have the power to stop the operation of the university. If you, they might slow you up, they might make your book, and they might be less efficient. As long as the library's there, and you've got a few loyal officers of the damn library, they can direct the use of the damn thing in such a way that the library wouldn't be. So, well, I just think that there ought to be in the thing some statement that if is not to that we are not on the side of the Joe Pews. We've got to say that within to the extreme limit of its capabilities, Columbia University policy has been to take into account the welfare of its professional and other employees equally with that of the officials, faculties, and the students of the university, but to attempt to enter into contracts with, by the very nature of the sources of our income, since we're not operating for profit, might yield in bad faith, won't do. Period. Just, in other words, I wouldn't, by any matter of means, enter into a long lawyer discussion, but I would try to put my on record that I'm not just trying to take a hike behind the law to beat some poor, downtrodden, poor little clerks into the dirt. So I think that the wording of the letter can be very, very shrewdly done.
You like to see the chance of Chase's letter?
Yeah.
Yes, I
don't
think
I have
to
get that aside. He's a smooth article, Chase.
Yes, this letter he wrote about. You know, where he got put my Chase, the other night I've been over to this is the microphone, 59. And the ladies the next day looked like this, like Mary Ellen Chase. And I said, it looks just like a brother. And the next day I said, well, I didn't realize that Mary Ellen Chase, the chance of a brother exists that there's a first ever next piece to the law. Because they look exactly alike. She's a pretty sure not to be cool there.
This is American Federation of Labor. I think is what I should like to maybe he knows better than I do. He's couched his more or less on the basis of I know my rights and I stand. Don't you think?
Well, just in that way. But in view of the concern this university and its trustees have had for all employees as well as the officials of the faculty, and so on, why we stand on our record that we cannot recognize someone with whom we have to enter into these strict negotiations, which by the very next thing we might have to break something. I don't want to say those words, but I'd certainly point out that since we're not operating for profit, that we are specifically exempted, and not that's not only therefore it's not illegal, but it's a moral thing, of course. I just make a damn good letter, and then, as I say, have the... I don't care if they're signed, but I just have it sidetracked before it came to me, and treat it on that basis, because if to appeal to me, then to listen to it on a human basis, well, then I get my gain. Say, by the way, that woman up there that wrote me a couple of violent letters, and I said, well, please see you up there from Rapalais' outfit. Then finally, I heard I had a date or something, but she never came in. I know.
Well, she didn't want to bother you, but she and her husband talked it over some night and decided that they both would like to go somewhere out and play, live a different life. I knew this.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
I'm comfortable for her.
Yeah. All right. Better see Captain Moran and find out in detail the drill he wants me to go through. Now, huh? You have it all in detail?
Yes.
All right, let me see it. Yeah. Let me see that.
E.J. Price is here, General. That is your friend in Chicago.
No friend of mine, but getting me.